This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talofa to our Samoan audience and welcome everyone to Neesh and Footy, the best spot for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name's Tinirao Aruna, and alongside me each week is my co-e, Sammy Wykes. Sammy, Neesh and Footy Mondays, how good?
How good, brother. Malola Lei, and welcome to everyone across the Pacific. Huge weekend of footy. It was unbelievable, both in NRL and Super Rugby. We're going to cover Super Rugby on that just with Minor Pacifica. They now move into sixth spot. They're going to make history. I guarantee they're going to make the top six. The draw, they found their groove as well. It took them a little bit, but they found their groove and got the job done at Churchill Park, which was great to see. And another big guest, another big Fijian guest. Do you watch the draw much?
I try to.
Try to?
It's just...
It's behind a paywall though, isn't it?
It is hard to find the rugby union games here in Sydney, but you know, it's cool to keep updated every time that you get to share here on Neesh and Footy. But we do have a big guest, and his name is Isoa Nasilasila.
Yeah, Nasilasila has been Mr. Consistent, Mr. Reliable. He's played plenty of minutes and he's on track to be, I think there's two now, but to be one of the first to play 50 games for the Drua, which is a massive milestone for the club. And a bit of fun facts as well, he's got a bit of Kiribati heritage. I don't think he knows too much about it, but it's nice to know that we've got a Kiribati player on Neesh and Footy.
How do you say hi in Kiribati?
Aloha kia.
Aloha kia.
No?
No.
No, I've got it. Sorry. Come the Māori.
Come the Māori.
There we go.
And, mate, you just tried to gloss over State of Origin.
Oh, sorry. I forgot there's that as well.
Come on,
the biggest
mate.
News. The biggest, it's the biggest games on the calendar. Sorry about that, bro.
Part of news this week in Rugby League. We'll be covering State of Origin squads and the NRL Round 11.
Moment of the week.
We can't go past this moment.
I tried to go past it, but we can't go past it.
No, we have spoken about this man.
Every week.
Every week, but he deserves his flowers. The man himself, Ari Savia. What's the award?
Super Rugby Player of the Year with two rounds to go. He's got max points. No one can catch him. Locked in. It's voted by coaches and every captain in Super Rugby. So everyone is recognising this man and what he has achieved on the field and off the field as well, and he's just playing minutes.
Is this equivalent to the Daly M?
Or yeah, I'd say it is. Yeah, absolutely, it is.
So you say from every Super Rugby coach and every Super Rugby captain, they nominate a player each week. Vote a player each week.
Each week, and that man there has won it in spades. So he deserves his flowers, and 100% that is our moment of the week.
This is Giovanni Manu with the Detroit Lions, and you're listening to Neesh and Footy.
That's different here in the American accent, isn't it? Old Giovanni Manu, hopefully he goes well for the Detroit Lions in the NFL. But what have you got for us first up, T?
State of Origin, New South Wales versus Queensland, game one in the men's. And we have a number of Pacifica players across both states. New South Wales will start with Brian To'o at the wing with Stephen Crichton at centre. And Payne Haas prop with Spencer Lenu on the bench. And then on the extended bench, we have Stefano Utoikamanu and Hamole Olukawatu. There are some doubts on Stephen Crichton and Payne Haas with their injuries, but hopefully they come through and pass their medicals this week.
Ooh, T, what's your biggest takeaway from this one?
I think Terrell May's probably unlucky to find a spot even on the extended bench or just in the squad. Yeah. He has played some great footy. You know, if it's a specific type of player that the coach is looking for, I understand that, you know, with Terrell playing 80 minutes this year. But keep in mind, he was also the player's vote for Impact Player of the Year last year. So he can cover both roles. So yeah, I thought Terrell May was unlucky and Jerome Luai as well.
Jerome, he was
a big one.
He was one of the reasons why they won that last game, you know, off that off-the-cuff play and went through.
I think it's a positive that we do have that depth in New South Wales. So any injuries, we've got cover. Now on to the Queensland team. We have Xavier Coates on the wing, Robert Toya, he will make his State of Origin debut and he will become the second least experienced player to play Origin with just 10 NRL games to his name, making his debut this year. He equals that record with the man himself, Payne Huss. Robert Toya, centre. We've got Hamiso Tabuai-Fido will be at centre with Valentine Holmes, who is a Queensland legend. He'll be at the starting at wing. Moiaki Fotuaika will be starting at prop with Tino Faasulu-Maliawi. We've also got Jeremiah Nanai. And on the extended bench, making his debut to the squad, is Kulikefu Fine Feuyaki, young upcoming player at the Dolphins. Okay. Good squad.
You don't have as much energy compared to the New South Wales one, that's for sure.
Well, I'm a Blues man.
You're Blues
through
and through. I get that. Hey, we've got to, as presenters here, we've got to be sort of neutral anyway.
Now, we've had a few of these guys on our show.
Yeah,
as well.
We have. Hopefully we can get some more.
We've had Valentine Holmes.
We've had Payne Huss.
Big Payne Huss. So.
But Robert Toya, 21 years of age. He's had some injuries coming through, but he has been a standout for the Roosters. What do you think he brings to the Origin Arena when he's only had 10 games?
Well, he's on my Nijan Footy squad.
That's a big tick. So
I think I might have spoken.
Billy Slater was looking at your list to choose him.
He's listening, mate.
He's listening.
Yeah, he gives me that Michael Jennings type of player. Very sharp off his feet, well balanced. And I don't think he'll look out of place in State of Origin. I think he'll fit that scene. Few injuries for Queensland. Selwyn Cobbo and Murray Taulangi will be unavailable. Sammy, that's not it for rugby league. We also had round 11 over the weekend. And my theme this week is the best tries in losing sides. And I'll start with the Bulldogs versus the Roosters.
Does that rhyme? Does that rhyme?
Best tries in the losing sides. You tell me, does it rhyme?
It rhymes to my head, but I like it. I like it where you're going with it.
Well, the first one, and it's possibly the try of the season, where we've seen the Bulldogs take on the Roosters. Yes, the Bulldogs won 24-20, but it was Mark Nawanganete Wase, the ex-rugby union player, on his second try. Mate, it was freakish. He hops on one leg, on his left leg, about to go out, puts the ball on his right foot, little chip kick, lands in the end goal. He runs outside the field, comes back in, and then scores a try for the Roosters.
Bradley inside to Nafahu White. He's caught 30 metres out from the Canterbury-Bankstown line. Kick out involved in another tackle there with King. Fade to Watson to the right. Bradley to Savala to Tedesco. Cut out ball and Wanganita Waze. Cross comes Burton, beats him. Then a little chip and chase for Wanganita Waze. That is amazing, but the touch judge, did he go out? Referee Ashley Klein points to the spot. Amazing chase by Nawanganita Waze. The kick right on the touchline.
He comes from the field of play, comes in and scores the most freakish of tries. I don't think I've seen any better. On degree of difficulties, we saw Xavier Coates last year. That was better.
That's the try of the year.
I'm going to go so far as to say it's the try of the century.
The try of the century. How does that sound? Or how does that make you feel?
You saw my facials, eh?
Knowing
that was playing.
This was an ex-rugby union player and they just let him go to our game.
Don't get me wrong, I'm so happy for Marky. I'm really happy he's doing well. I know him personally. I'm not personal enough to get him on the show yet, but it breaks me every time he kills it and knowing that he should be doing that in rugby union. He could be helping the Tars right now, and I've got no doubt he would have carved up the British and Irish Lions in that series, but he's absolutely killing it over there for the Roosters.
Wouldn't surprise me if we see him in a Blues jersey one day.
Yeah, Smokey. Big Smokey. I like that. Like that call.
And then whether he plays for Fiji in the PAC Champs or World Cup next year.
Oh, the world's his oyster at the moment. He's going to tick off everything.
That's it.
But have you been impressed with him, though? Or has he converted the NRL purists of the game?
He's surpassed my expectations.
Oh, beautiful. And he's got some high expectations too.
There's some areas that he can improve on. I think he got a little bit exposed on the weekend with the high ball, but again, they were burden bombs.
Yeah.
And not many people can catch those bombs, especially when he puts them, those torpedoes, and in wet conditions, it was a bit windy as well. So yeah, he's definitely a player to look out for the rest of the season. My second try. Now this one, our fans are probably used to seeing this guy get up in the air and bring it down, but we can't just overglossed it or underestimate the talent of the PNG Flyer, Xavier Coates. Yes, their team lost, but he scored 3 tries on the weekend, and his third try, another AFL-style catch in the air, jumping over the Sharks player, puts his knee on the Sharks player, grabs the ball mid-air, and comes down for a try.
Last play, Storm. Can they find some points and close the gap here on the Sharks? Munster's kick for the corner, last play. Up they go. Oh, Xavier Coates with a big hang in the corner. He got the sit on Atkinson, I think it was, and he comes down, ball and all, to complete his hat-trick.
There were 5 tries apiece to both teams, the Storm and the Sharks. Ronaldo Mulitalo, Adam Fanua-Blake, Siosi Fatalakai, he set up this beautiful try to Daniel Atkinson. Just a nice right-hand offload, and even Kale Iro scored for the Sharks. But it was Nico Hines' goal kick in, 5 from 5. They got them over, and the Sharks won this one 31-26. And in my last one, the Fijian captain, Api Korosau, in a losing team, he made a break 17 metres out. He should be at dummy half. Instead, he's at first receiver. And as he catches the ball, takes the line on, right foot step, breaks the South defensive line, goes one-on-one with Latrell Mitchell. And it was a left-right left. Latrell gets stuck in the mud. He runs around and scores a 70-metre try for the Tigers.
Played to Staines, goes right to Korosau. He goes straight through, over halfway the 40. Where's his teammates? Gets to Latrell, stepped in. Happy, happy, happy. He's a happy, happy. Wow. What about the step? Latrell Mitchell didn't even clutch at thin air. He just looked at thin air. Korosau the try with a minute to go in the half from nothing.
Unfortunately for the Tigers, the Souths won this one 22-12. Alex Johnston, the PNG Flyer, also scored for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And Saliva Havili scored the first try for the Souths as well. Another Havili special, just dart from dummy half, yeah. Too strong, too low.
And the big 40s, solid unit.
Gets the win for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Now remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters remain third, but a huge statement win when they beat the top of the table North Devils in Brisbane on the weekend, 24-18. The scores were locked at 18-all with 5 minutes to go, and then Sonny Wabor scored in the 76th minute to give the Hunters the lead. It's his 9th of the season, making him the leading try scorer in the competition. The PNG Hunters, eh?
Nice work. Oh, he's one of my favourite. I just like his name too. Sonny Wabor.
Sonny Wabor.
I'd love to be a commentator saying his name out loud, scoring tries. Fantastic player.
And the New South Wales jersey flag, the Cavite Silktails had the bye. And we mentioned the Cook Islands final over the weekend. The Tupapa Panthers take the cup, beating the Aorangi Bears in the Raro 13s final. They won 36-14, completing an undefeated season.
Light work.
Eric Newbeginning, one of the standout players for Tupapa Panthers. Man, I hope he gets a jersey for the upcoming PAC champs for the Cook Islands.
Surely you're on the selection panel for that this year. Oh, mate, chuck his name in there.
I'll do. You know what? I'll plant a seed.
Plant
there.
The seed. You know, the farmers are back planting the seeds.
But that's perfect. Us for rugby league.
Unreal, my friend.
And we'll catch up with Shelley Long and cover last week's State of Origin game as well.
Unreal, unreal. Let's get over to Super Rugby Pacific. And it was round 14 and it saw our Island brothers get up again together for the third time this season. And I guess it was probably extra special as well as both the Fijian Drill and Moana Pacifica played their final home games of the year. And it was honestly incredible footy to watch. The Fijian Drua, I just love the fact that they found their groove in this game and they won comfortably in the end, 38-7. 9 in a row at Churchill Park. 9 in a row in Lotoka. There's cause for them to move every home game to Churchill Park.
Just keep it at Churchill.
Just keep it at Churchill Park.
Don't worry about what's the other field.
Just in Suva Stadium there.
Suva.
Yeah, yep. In Suva. So unfortunate for the Suva people. I know they're big supporters as well, but hey, you got to go where all the love is and where they keep winning.
What do you think that is?
Well, that's their home base. Like, so they yeah. live in around that area. But when they play in Suva, it's like an away game.
Travel.
They're traveling. They stay in the hotels, whereas, you know, they're at their own facilities. They're in their own beds. So That's got to be, I think, a big part of it. Honestly, the Force were the better team in the opening 20, 25 minutes. They scored early on to go up 7-0. And it sort of looked like the Drill were just clunky and being guilty of what they've been guilty of all year with their handling errors, turnovers, not exiting out of their half. And it wasn't looking great for them. And I was like, oh, we're going to be in for a long day here. But I guess what gave the Drill some confidence is the fact that even though they weren't playing well, the Force were only up by 7 points. Like, they were just becoming just as clunky and started to really fade away, missing tackles, turning over possession, giving away penalties and falling off tackles. So once that started happening, our man, Isaiah Armstrong-Ravulla, playing in at 10, I think it's probably the first game this year where he's actually really taken control of the game. He started to exit well. He was making good decisions. And from then, their forwards just did one thing and just went hard and got over the gain line, especially Thanagaivata, their number 8. He just set a fantastic platform for their backs to play off, and they just played their Fijian footy style of footy, you know, just happy, getting miracle passes away. Yosefa Massi's miracle flick ball to Longani Massi down the sideline, like no look around the back of a defender, and just knew that he was going to be there. And then he passes it back onto the inside for Basalala to score his first Super Rugby try. And then from there, the floodgates absolutely opened up for the Drua. They were just scoring tries. It was good to see Celestino Ravutamanda back on the try scorers list. And they got to send out guys like him, Masi, Tevita, Ikanevere, Caleb Muntz on a high note. So for the Drua, they've got one more game in Brisbane against the Reds in the last game. So hopefully they can finish on a high and avoid the wooden spoon. And I think it's just a telling stat now for next year. They've got to find a way to not let the opposition win the territory battle. Every time a team has got 65 to 70% territory, they've gone on to win the games. And when they've brought that back and exited well, they put themselves in the hunt to win the game. So good. It was a good performance from the Drua. Now, Moana Pacifica. Oh, honestly, what a game.
Wow.
Oh, I just when you think they can't get any better, they do. Like, it's, I'm assuming maybe Moana, they might have listened to our interview last week with Patrick Tuipulotu when the captain of the Blues and his brother played in that game in the front row as well for Moana, where he did say he wanted to smash them. So obviously it didn't happen that way. And Moana got the job done. But what I loved about Moana, I feel like this is, they're going to grow each week and I reckon they will get into that top six, is the fact that they're so connected and willing to work hard. So you know what it's like, the narrative around when there's a lot of Pacific Islanders in one team, there's a narrative around where it's like too many is not good.
Yeah.
Because who's going to be the decision maker? Who's going to be the serious one? Who's going to work hard enough? But the dangerous combination for this team at the moment is like, they've got both of those together.
And everyone understands their roles in the team.
Yep. And we've seen that. I saw more, again, the man who leads it, Artie Savia. He was that first receiver on one side of the field. Shifts it to go wide. He gets to the other ruck and becomes a halfback, then takes the next carry.
Is it normal for someone like Artie Savia in his position to play that leadership role, like making those decisions, or has he created that?
I think he's creating that himself because, like league, we do get stuck in a system where back rowers and stuff can get stuck on one side. He's got the license to move, and I feel like all the players have the license to move because Karen Damoy Falau's second try, he's a right winger, but when Pellegrini did the crossfield kick to offer on the left wing for Karen to score his second try, like, he shifted and got the tap back over. They've got the license to move. And now, I thought there was just so many examples out there where Moana just worked hard for each other. They won moments. They won individual battles. Sometimes they didn't have the momentum, but they won that back. And you could just tell how much this game meant to them. But then I feel like this is the other bit that's probably really working for them as well, is the leadership of that man, Artie Savia. We keep mentioning his name, but I just thought his decision-making at crucial times was world-class off the back of penalties. I think if we notice what the Drua do sometimes where they're lacking is the fact that when they get back-to-back penalties, they just keep tapping it and going. And sometimes it's on, sometimes it's not. Artie really understood the fact that when they time to play up-tempo, he did. But when it's time to take points on offer, he slowed things down. He took his breath and go, you know, we need to take points here. And Pellegrini got 3 from 3. And in the end, like the boot of the penalty goals was the difference. So I think that leadership is what's been needed, and he's the man. So that's for Moana. I think, yeah, they've got a tough couple of games ahead away. They got the Chiefs first up against the.
You said that a few weeks ago, mate.
Moana, they won down in Christchurch.
They've got a tough ride home, and they do. Just go win.
It's not that I'm just stating facts. It is tough. The Chiefs are coming second at the moment. Hard to beat at home, but the blockbuster will be when they play the Hurricanes in Wellington, the final game. They just need one of these games. Win one.
The Sons of Wellington.
The Suns, yes. The Savia brothers, Tana Umanga. That's going to be like a grand final moment for that game. But just to round out the top six, just so everyone knows, the Brumbies move to the top of the table. Chiefs are in second. Crusaders, Reds, Hurricanes, and Moana at six. The Blues are in seventh. And it's good to see the Drua off the bottom of the table. They're in second last. So there you have it, my friend.
Well, great work, Sammy. Let's head straight to Shirley Long to cover some more rugby league and rugby union in the women's world.
The long story short with Shirley Long.
And we are back, blessed with her presence, our PNG Orchids and NRLW star, Shirley Long. Shirley, how was your week?
It's been really good. Preseason's kicked off. I'm back running. The knee's going really good. And I think everything's just going really well at the moment. So extremely happy.
Talk piss and phrases. Have you got any more for us this week?
Oh, nogat. I'm just kind of solo learning at the moment. Won't flex my moves at the moment. Maybe towards the back end of the year, hopefully.
So, in other words, you haven't studied for it this week. Is that right?
One hit wonder.
One hit wonder. Can that be your mission every time
we're joking.
On?
We're joking.
Just something new every week. Just a word of the day, or something like that. Is that cool?
I think we can do it, but I think if I'm doing it, then you guys have to. Put some input in.
I love it. I love the challenge. One word each week.
All right.
Cook Island, Tongan, and PNG. Beautiful.
Perfect. All right, perfect.
Well, we'll catch up with that one next week. And your knee, saw some big box jumps. How's that been treating you?
Oh, my knee, it's finally, I feel like we're over that hill. We're slowly coming down now. I actually saw the physio at the back end of last week to talk about a plan. So the aim is to come back in with four Queensland Cup games under my belt before the international season. So we're planning backwards at the moment. We're going to try and see what we can do to get me there in time. But I think at the moment we're tracking really well. Change of direction's been added in. The leg extensions have hit a PB. 35 kilo single leg.
35?
Yes, the VMOs.
That is strong.
Bulging.
That is great news. I know, when you start doing those heavy leg extensions, you're on the
right track.
You're on the back end of your rehab. So great work, Shell. State of origin. Look, I don't want to pull on the heartstrings, but the Blues take out the series and their first ever three-game series, and they're going for the whitewash, but what was your big takeaways from last week's New South Wales Blues women's victory?
It's a very interesting one. Like you said, the New South Wales Blues, they did take out a historic Origin series win on Thursday night. It's their second series, three-game series to be played. I think you look at when they won their first game, a lot of talk was around, okay, will they become complacent? And I think they definitely did not do that. They came out even stronger in game two, and I don't think Queensland were quite ready for that to happen either. I don't think Queensland rolled up their sleeves like that we're used to seeing them do. The weather conditions, however, were horrendous. The fields looked absolutely soaked. It was almost like a swimming pool out there for the poor girls. I think there was one time where Yasmin Clydesdale made a tackle. Her face went straight into the water and she's come up and it's mud everywhere and fully drenched. So, it's a lot of credit to the girls to be able to play in those types of conditions. But when you look at their stats, Queensland missed 46 tackles compared to the New South Wales Blues, 10 tackles. They made over just under, 100 more tackles than the girl, than the New South Wales girls. And penalty-wise, errors wise, conceded more errors and just almost conceded more penalties than them. I think in terms of New South Wales, they were just dominant. Their forward pack was again dominant. I think when Queensland added Chelsea Lenarduzzi into the mix, I think that was a great call. I think she added a little bit more to the middle in terms of offloads and heavy runs, but they just couldn't match New South Wales.
And I know there were a number of Nijin stars that really stood out in both teams. Which one stood out for you?
Oh, I'm going to have to say it again this week. Sumaima Talfa, again, a solid performer across the board in both attack and defence. Not so much a Pacifica player, but a proud Māori, Olivia Koenig, was also sensational for the New South Wales Blues team. She claimed two tries, ran for 236 metres, mind you, in an Origin game. We hardly see that in an NRLW, and to do it in an Origin game is insane. And then made 35 tackles on the back of that with no misses.
And then it's really cool to see the two pocket rockets in Sala Tongatuki and Kennedy Sherrington come off the bench and just keep that momentum. So looking forward to game three, what do Queensland have to do differently to avoid getting the 3-0 whitewash?
I think they've got to do a lot of thinking about, did their performance meet the standard of Origin? Do they want to be out there on the field? It's going to be a very tough one, but I think they really need to look at what are we doing wrong. You look at the New South Wales Blues in that game and their attack, their streamlined attack was incredible. And when you look at Queensland, unfortunately, you didn't see a lot of shape or systems out there. So I think that's a big piece that we're missing for Queensland. But also I think defensively, the tackles that we didn't make were easy tackles to make. And I think particularly when you look at Jamie Chapman's try and Olivia Koenig's try, quite soft contact there. So I think that's probably a key focus for Tani being, particularly for Tani to be a defensive coach as well.
Yeah, nice. Now let's move on to NRLW. What news do you have for us?
So 8 out of 12 NRLW clubs have completed their top four player rosters. That's exciting news. We should hopefully see over the next couple of weeks the completed rosters for all teams. Whether they've been completed or not, it might just be the announcements at this stage. However, we did recently find out that Jada Lofipo, sister of Sienna Lofipo, has recently signed with the Gold Coast Titans. So that will now be a sister duo at the Titans. That's exciting news for the Gold Coast Titans fans, particularly with Jada being a solid middle forward. She's extremely good in that middle area. And I think, you know, with having a few middles out this season, it will really add to the depth of the Titans squad. Oh, last thing on rugby league, it does mark week two of the NRLW preseason. Origin players will return to the NRLW clubs this week ahead of them returning back into camp on the weekend. With this being said, it does mean that Origin players miss about 2 to 3 weeks of the NRLW preseason, and that only gives them 5 to 6 weeks to prepare for the NRLW season. So quite a quick turnaround for those players, particularly if they're learning new positions. But again, it's a great reason for younger players to really develop in those areas as well.
Nice work, Shelley. I'm still thinking about those comments you said about Queensland around questioning if you want this bad enough. So, the look in the mirror is never a good one when you're reviewing your game and getting ready for the next one. But hopefully they can bounce back and make it a contest for game three. But let's go to rugby union. Wallaroos play the US in a doubleheader in Canberra over the weekend. What'd you make of this one?
Yeah, so the Wallaroos made their comeback after last week's loss to the New Zealand Black Ferns. The Wallaroos took out their first ever win against the USA on home turf after a tough and hearty effort from them. The final score being 27 points to 19. Again, I think there was some incredible players out there on the field performing for the Wallaroos. But I do think that there are several things that they need to fix up in terms of their game ahead of this Friday, actually.
Talk to me. What are they? I'm very intrigued to to know your thoughts here.
Oh, I think something that we can definitely fix up for the Wallaroos is their missed tackles. They had 27 missed tackles compared to the USA's 8, and they did actually have to make over 50 more tackles than the USA. So I think that defensive side to the Wallaroos, if they can tighten that up again just behind the ruck, that's where they'll probably feel like when they verse, you know, Canada or the Black Ferns, it'll be a bit of a neater game for them.
Yeah, perfect, perfect analysis right there. And some of the players that stood up again, Ash Masters, Eva Kapani scores again. I thought Faitala Moleka was great at 10. What are you making of those girls who are absolutely killing it week in, week out in that gold jersey?
Oh, they've definitely shown, you know, why they deserve to be there. And to do it game in, game out is also great to see. You don't really see that consistency sometimes when you're in an international representative team. You know, everyone there is standouts, but to keep out week in, week out is a great efforts to those girls. I think particularly when you see the middles standing out as well in such a tough game where it is quite middles on middles contact there, that's great efforts from all of those girls.
I love your work, Shelley. Outstanding. Hopefully for the Wallaroos, they do play the US in one of their pool games at the World Cup this year. So hopefully that gives them a lot of confidence to go into that game and go further into that competition. But thank you so much, Shelley. I'm really enjoying your rugby union insights. You're killing it there. Keep it up.
Thanks, guys. But in saying that, Australia do face Canada this Friday. And also over the weekend, the world number threes, New Zealand Black Ferns, hosted the world number two, Canada, in Christchurch. The final score being 27 points all. So an incredible game over there. And I think when you look at the performance, particularly with the Wallaroos and the USA, again, the score's quite close there. So I think this Pac-4 series will definitely be a tight one for all teams.
Too good. There we go. That's the wrap-up.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate always jumping on with you and looking forward to learning your new words.
Yeah, likewise.
Hi, it's Tabua Tunakabandra and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Well, T, today on Nijin Footy, we're joined by Fijian draw lock Isuar Nasilasila, who's on track to become the first ever player to reach 50 games for the club. He's also represented the Flying Fijians at the 2023 Rugby World Cup, including that famous win over the Wallabies. Mr. Reliable, Mr. Consistent, the man himself, Isuar Nasilasila. Welcome to Nijin Footy, brother. Bula.
No, Bula, bro. Appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
No, we really appreciate your time, man. We're going to talk about your 50 games and a bit of the draw experience soon, but let's just take it back. Where's your family from in Fiji?
So my dad's from Visayavunda, and I have some maternal links to Kiribati and Kandavu. So, yeah, basically on island, full Fijian, I guess.
I heard Kandavu is the place with the strongest cover. Is that rumour true?
So I've heard. I'm not too sure.
It has to be true because Nemani Kundrani now talks about Kandavu people see flying frogs or something after the strong kava. That's what he talks about in commentary. So it has to be true.
Yeah, I think it is that. I think it is.
Do you know much about your connection to Kiribati?
It stems from my mum's dad. He was born there, born and raised there. So, yeah, not too sure how deep the Kiribati connections go, but still holds a special place.
Oh, so you can play for Kiribati, given that you're
great.
Yes.
After 3 years.
Oh, yeah, of course, you've already played for Fiji.
And yourself, you were brought up in Sydney. What was your upbringing like?
Yeah, Sydney. It was good. I was born in Campbelltown, but we were raised up in Fairfield. I went to school at Westfield, so, you know, pretty big sports influence there. But it was good. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. Hearing the boys' stories about growing up here in Fiji, I sort of compare it to growing up in Fairfield. You know, it wasn't the flashiest, but we had heaps of good memories. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, what were some of those memories growing up in the beautiful suburb of Fairfield?
Every Sunday, my dad, he would get me to ride my bike to the servo down the road and just give us $2, get the Sunday Morning Herald, come back, and it was just, you know, me and my brothers would take our bikes, go for drive, or go for rides around around the block into Fairfield City, come back. Yeah, it was just, you know, chill vibes. It was good.
You mentioned you went to Westfield Sports High, and Westfields were always one of the strong rugby league schools as well.
Yeah.
Did you always grow up playing rugby union, or was there ever a, or did you play rugby league as well?
Nah, so we, my dad enrolled us in rugby league first down at Fairfield United. Started when I was, I think, under 10s.
Yeah.
And then sort of played that till, I think, year 7. But I didn't make the league program for Westfields. I didn't make it, so I tried out for the AFL program.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's when it first started, the AFL program. So I was one of the founding members, and I try to take some pride with that. So, and then I moved to the union program end of year 8.
But it's actually at that school. It's a normal route. Everyone wants to try out for the rugby league program, but because when I was doing some coaching there. And then the ones that don't make the league, they're all disappointed that they're in the rugby union program. I can only imagine they'll be disappointed being in the AFL one, but if you're not in that.
In regards to your, you know, your childhood and your parents being from Fiji and Kiribati, was the Fijian culture a big part of your upbringing as well?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, we'd always make trips over when we were kids, usually during the holidays, Christmas holidays. Come stay in Fiji for a few weeks. Yeah, my Fijian's not great, so still working on that. But yeah, it's always been a big culture, big part of my life, you know. Always wanted to play for Flying Fijian, so yeah, ever since I was younger. So yeah, it was pretty big.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that because you've absolutely killed it in that jersey. But coming from Fairfield and going to the Villages, you know, what was that experience like for yourself? Some of the eye-openers and things that you loved and things that you didn't.
I think just comparing, you know, like I'd say struggles, but, you know, just how, like, simple they lived and how content, you know, all the kids, all the families were back in the village. Especially when I'd come back to VCSA during the school holidays. You know, just see the kids that would be playing around with, like, bottles, playing touch with coconuts, and, you know, you just join in and, you know, just buy into it, and it's good growing up. But I think as an adult, when we went for a trip to Taviuni before the Rugby World Cup 2023, and that was a big eye-opener, you know, seeing the rural community, sort of, and, like, how they, you know, got around, got along. And, yeah, it's just, like, a big, real family-orientated communities, and it's really good, you know, they really buy into it, and, you know, I tried to buy into it. It's really nice, different upbringing, yeah.
I love that, you know, hearing them stories and how it helps us appreciate what we do have. You mentioned earlier playing rugby league, playing AFL, and now, you know, you're about to be one of the high, or you will be the highest cap draw player. At what age was there a moment in your upbringing where you realised, okay, I'm going to be a professional rugby union player?
I think it was probably year 10 or 11, because I didn't really play club footy until I was in year 11, when our coach, Coach Brame, Will Brame, he was our union coach, and he told me, you should go try playing some under 20, some Colts. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll try. So I just searched up in the school laptop, school library, just rugby union clubs. Then Eastwood popped up, and I was like, okay, I'll try there. And then Eastwood, it was a mission. It was like 2 hours by train and bus. I think after the pre-season and heading into the season, that's when, like, the dream started, like, becoming sort of real. I was like, oh, yeah, I can actually try to do this. I was only playing third Colts, though, so. And then we versus Penrith Emus for the last game, and I got my first Colts debut, and it sort of made like a little break that I was like, I reckon I could try to crack some professional rugby, you know. So yeah, it's probably that first season of Colts, just trying to, you know, realize this could be a dream.
So after that, then you've made Fiji 20s, is that right? And then you've gone on to Fiji Warriors, now to the Drua. You know, for your time and your experience going into that, like, was the Drua on your radar, or did you want to play for, like, a Super Rugby franchise?
Well, obviously,
as in Australian one.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, the Drua wasn't really around, so it was always a dream to play, like, in one of the Australian teams, you know, Brumbies, Waratahs, just because I didn't see any other opportunities anywhere else. Then the Drua came about, then that's when I sort of seen the pathway to go through, so that helped a lot. But yeah, it was always start off with the Waratahs or Brumbies or, you know, Reds, just an Aussie team, try to get some exposure there.
What was that moment like when you made your Super Rugby debut?
No, it was good because it was in Sydney too, and all my family came over. It was all the church family, all my extended family. It was surreal because, yeah, they would always watch my games playing for Southern Districts and Eastwood. And, yeah, just, you know, running out at Parramatta. It was at Para against the Waratahs. It was just, it was real surreal. I always say it's surreal, but, like, I just couldn't believe it at that moment. Yeah, just seeing all my family in the crowd and then, you know, playing against players that you watch for ages. And, yeah, I still can't explain it. Still pinching myself, I guess.
How was it for your family watching you? I know it's the Fly Fijians, but you're representing Fiji on that field at that very moment. How was it for your family watching their son run around in Drua colours for the very first time and living out his dream?
No, it was good because I think, yeah, they were real proud that moment, just seeing how hard my whole family's worked just for me to get there. You know, how hard I've worked, but like, you know, my family's, they've done just as big of a job of supporting me. So, you know, as much as their debut as it was mine, yeah, you know, there's some tears there, and they all came to the capping back at the hotel, and yeah, it was good, just a good day, good night.
So you've been a part of the draw since day one, and you're about to take on your 50th cap for the club. And yeah, when you fast forward from when you first started, how much does it mean to wear that jersey 50 games?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it still shocks me. Yeah, it's coming up to 50 now. But yeah, I think just taking the same mindset as I did at the start of my campaign, you know, just trying to be grateful for every game that I play, you know, because I see, you know, a lot of players, they come and go, and, you know, their seasons, careers end here and there, and, you know, just always trying to be grateful and, you know, just, yeah, play as many games as I can.
You know, as well, yeah, in that moment, obviously you played a lot of games. You're into a Fijian environment, but it's also high performance as well. So for yourself, what have you learnt about joining high performance and Fijian culture and prepping for games?
Yeah, so it's definitely changed over the years. You know, I try to relax a bit more now. You know, first season, you know, I was just trying to, like, find the ropes around and, you know, see what worked for me. And then, you know, it's definitely evolved over the last few seasons. Yeah, I definitely try to take a chill pill.
Like Fijian relax? Are you that relaxed or just a little bit more?
No, I'm probably not that relaxed. Yeah, keep some stress in my system, but yeah. Chill music and just, you know, just see however my body's feeling. If I want to go for a walk, I'll go for a walk. If I want to just go get something to eat, just get something to eat, you know. Changes for every week, I guess.
Well, you mentioned that, Sammy, a couple of weeks ago, that sense that you felt in the sheds when they're blasting the music and everyone just kicked back, and then you just went out and had a mad performance. We've been able to speak about some of those great performances from the Drua. What has been one of your favourite games and victories for the Drua?
Definitely the first Crusaders win in Lotoka. Just a lot of, like, grinding, eh? You know, it's just back and forth the whole time, and then they made a comeback at the end and then got the kick at the end to win the game. You know, just roller coaster. But I'd say the Crusaders would, yeah.
Went off. Kemu Valentini, unreal. Yeah, loved being there for that moment and the crowd going off. Always hear, you know, even Mesake and they're talking about it's Fiji's team. It's Fiji's team, best fans in the world. Now, what is it like going around the streets every single day and being known as the rock stars in Fiji?
That's good. It's, you know, especially when kids come, you know, you see how much of an impact you have in their lives and how much of an impact how much they look up to you. So it's nice. Sometimes, you know, it gets a lot. They, you know, just walking around with your missus and, you know, people come flooding, oh, can I get a photo? But then, you know, you sort of have to take the photo. But, yeah, it's nice. It's different. It was definitely a shock that first season. But, yeah, you sort of get used to it.
And then moving on to representing your nation, you know, Fiji. And what was that moment like?
That was definitely something else, you know, just a dream that you've been dreaming for 10, 15 years and, you know, for it to finally happen. Yeah, couldn't really put into words. Yeah, made my debut against Tonga in silver in 2022. So, yeah, even getting named in the Fiji team, the extended squad, I was like shocked, you know, just to see my name there with all the other players and all the other big names. Yeah, it's just, yes, it's cool.
Well, a couple of big moments in the Fijian jersey, you know, that win against England and then beating the Wallabies at the World Cup. Man, I still remember, I think you were on the sideline at the Wallabies game when the game ended, but you were going off, like, and the boys going off and the emotion that was pouring out of you boys, like, how was that experience? Like, beating one of the big nations like that from the tiny island of Fiji?
Yeah, now, for personally, I was just like another type of hype just after we beat the Wallabies, eh? Because for me, it was like Wallabies or Fiji, you know, growing up in Australia and, you know, getting the opportunity to play for Fiji. And then versing Wallabies in the pools and then getting the dub over them, it was crazy, that just the whole scenario. And, you know, the fact that it came down to the last scrum, yeah, it was just, just can't really put into words, but it was like my best moments, you know, playing rugby, beating Australia.
Have your parents ever said any words to you about how proud they are watching you play for Fiji?
Yeah, they tell me every week before I run out, they send their messages, calls and hear this and that. But yeah, it's good. Yeah, sort of always keep you grounded and see why you're doing it and, you know, how I got here to Fiji and the draw. So they always send messages every week.
Who's got your kit, bro, like that jersey that you wore, like the game day jersey? Who's got all those famous jerseys in your family? I'm sure someone's taking off their cousins uncle. Or someone.
Bro, they're everywhere, right? There's, I gave some to my mates, my cousin. most of them at home, though, with mum and the boys and my sister. So, yeah, it's all hanging in the closet. I'll try and frame them up soon or do something with it. Yeah, but some here in, with my dad in Fiji. Yeah, all over the place.
When you give the like that kid, especially to your mum or dad, can you see it in their face that, like, this is unbelievable, like, or how proud they are to receive that from you?
Yeah, like, I got my caps at home too. Like, they're all like at the front door on the shelf, you know, just so everyone can see. Yeah, even the jerseys, you know, I think they're just too scared to touch it. They just want to leave it in the closet. Just don't want to do anything to it.
I got three quick fire questions to wrap my questions up. First one is, who's your favourite player that you've got to play with in their draw jersey?
Oh, I'd say Hetet. So he's been there since day one, and we were roomies that first year too. So we've been roomies for like almost 3 years. But yeah, just playing on the field with him, he's, you know, in the scrums and lineups, you know, just reliable and does his job. And yeah, someone that you want to be playing with, eh?
Toughest player you've played against?
For me as a lock, I'd say Maro Itoje. Yeah, I played him twice, and you know, he's just amongst everything, eh? Like rucks, tackling, and you know, just lineouts, just a nuisance. And you know, as a lineout caller, you're just trying to stay away from people like that.
Yeah, he's a big unit, eh?
Yeah, it makes my job difficult.
Yeah.
And last one, if you had to run it straight at someone, who would you not want to run it straight at? is your throat alright?
Oh, my throat still sore from the commentary. No,
oh man, that's a tough one. I don't really. Someone like RDA. Yeah.
Is that just because he'll pump you, or more the respect you wouldn't want to?
No.
I wouldn't want to pump him off. Yeah.
He'll just, you know, he just looks like he's strong, eh? Like, honest. Oh man, he's just probably fold me, eh?
Great player.
Oh, to be honest, bro, you held your ground in that when Semisi ran it straight at you in that Moana game. That was solid contact there, where you put a good shot on it. That was solid contact.
That was a shoulder charge, or?
Nah, it's all good. I saw the attempted wrap around. It's all good. One final question from me. I don't want to make you late for your team meeting. Who's the better commentator out of me, Clarkey, and Nemani?
Nemani.
I've got to go with Clarkey.
Oh, of course. Oh, if you want to say Nem, so that's it. I'm hanging up right now. But honestly, bro, I really appreciate your time, man. I know the draw have had a tough season this year, but I meant what I said, Mr. Reliable, Mr. Consistent. You've played pretty much every minute. I wish you all the best. Hopefully you get to be the first draw player to, you know, get 50 games. It's going to be special for yourself, and hopefully we see many, many more from you in the draw jersey and in the Flying Fijian jersey as well.
Oh, bro, appreciate it, man.
This season, get your footy fix live and ad-free. Can you believe- every try.
He pins the ears back and he dives over to score in the corner.
And tackle.
What a tackle!
We've got you covered.
That's not a pass, it's a party trick.
NRL. Each weekend.
Bing, bing, bing! Game, set, bingo!
ABC Radio Australia. Your home of rugby league in the Pacific.
Kia ora, this is Jasmine Tupo Witcherman, and you're listening to Legion Footy.
Give me three answers for this one.
Ooh, I don't like that 18-17 scoreline, Sammy.
You don't like it at all when you're behind.
But
it's your competitive nature. It's
this
just a game,
is
mate.
The part of the show where we play Give Me Three. It's our game of categories, and we keep a score. Sammy's
my
up.
My turn this week, and I am going to give you three milestones that happen over the weekend, and you're going to give me the three players who achieve those milestones. Do you like that?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, you'll like it because you'll get them right. It depends what they are. Okay, first one. Who was the South Sydney player that notched up a great milestone over the weekend with games played?
Did he play for South Sydney?
He played for the Rabbitohs.
Dane Gagai?
No, Pacifica.
Oh.
Surely, I thought you'd be over this one. I saw on socials, it just would have popped up.
Did someone make 150 games? Usually I hear about the 200 games.
150, you're sort of on the money.
Was it Davey Miley's 50th? Can't be that early.
Nah, well, you're telling me.
This is a great question.
Thank you. You haven't said that before about any of my questions, so I'm going to take that as a victory in itself.
I don't know who it is. I'm going to take a guess and go Davey Moale's 50th NRL game.
To be honest, I don't know if it was his 50th. I didn't see that bit, but I did see Junior Totola 150th on the weekend.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, big
did
Junior.
He play?
Yeah, he played.
You sure he played?
I hope so, because all on social media is congratulating him, his brothers and stuff. That's how I saw it, because I'm close with his brother Seal and all the reshares that came through. So I was like, but yeah, he played 150.
Nice.
There we go. Congratulations to the big Doko.
Should
unreal.
Do better, me.
This one's going to be harder because I had to put at least one hard one in there because I thought you would have got the two league ones that I have. But who is now equal top try scorer in Super Rugby history with TJ Perenara on 65? He got it on the weekend.
And he's Nijan.
He is.
Miracle Failangi.
He's only just started, like in Super Rugby history.
I'm just trying to think of all the names.
I'll give you a clue. He's from the Crusaders.
No, I don't. I know his face, but I don't know his name. Fijian, eh?
Yes, Fijian. Yeah. You're on the right track. Come on, bro. You've got this.
No, I don't know his name.
All right. You're going to concede?
Yeah.
Sevu Reese. Congratulations to Sevu Reese, who equaled the highest top try score in Super Rugby history. Sevu Reese, there you have it, my friend. Okay, you've got to get this one. You have to. Who was the latest Tongan to debut for the Parramatta Eels on the weekend?
He played middle back row.
Yes, that's him. His dad did the jersey presentation.
Okay, move on past.
Do the end of the show. Donny Matele made his debut for the Parramatta Eels. Congratulations to him. Donuts for my friend T. Cook Island Donuts.
That is awful.
Great questions from me.
Next week,
don't do that.
My last week's questions were easy, and then
that's very easy. It's in your chosen field as well. But that's our time up. Tell your footy loving friends about Nijan Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcast or on the ABC Pacific website. And I will see you on Friday.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.